We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
12 o'clock hour, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan coming up at 12:30 for their training camp presser. Cannot wait for that. They'll talk about the George Kittle extension, I'm sure. They'll talk about what's going on with the football team and a newly signed tight end from the Washington professional football team, Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed has just signed a one-year incentive-laden deal with the 49ers. Low risk, high reward, but I like the low risk move here. Jordan Reed, when he's on the football field, can be a big time player, especially in the passing game. Just another weapon for Jimmy Garoppolo, especially without Deebo Samuel for probably the first 2 to 4 games of the season.
That's my biggest takeaway, guys, is that I think that obviously Jimmy had a really good year last year, and you want to see this guy build on that. You want to see him get better. And with Deebo not being able to be ready maybe for the first couple of games, this is just another insurance policy. You bring back Mostert. You figured out that contract situation, which is great. Brandon Ayuk, you invested a first-round draft pick in. Hopefully Trent Taylor's healthy. Hopefully Jalen Hurts healthy. You drafted another tight end. Who knows what will happen there? We'll see. You bring in Kittle back and hopefully get him locked in, you know, long-term here. This team needs playmakers. Every team in the league is trying to have matchup nightmares. They're trying to have different guys on the field that put stress on a defense. This just makes things easier for Kittle, easier for Garoppolo, gives them more weapons. Like, I'm envisioning a scenario now where Kittle can split out as a wide receiver more often because now you have more of a traditional tight end, even though Jordan's not necessarily a blocker. It just gives you positional versatility and gives you different things you can throw at a defense on any given down. Like, this is a win-win for me.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, the people can't see us on Zoom, but I saw Kyle talking to Bonte, and Bonte, when you said breaking news, I thought to myself, Antonio Brown's got suspended. He's 8 weeks, so week 9 he's available, and I automatically went there like he's about to announce it.
But your birthday is booming.
I'll take Reed and see how it works, but I'll say this about the Niners. I just remember the Super Bowl. Why wasn't Kittle out in the passing routes as much as Gronk? But you talked about it. Kansas City was there. They were decimating the O-line, and they had to keep him in the block. Niners go get Trent Williams. Now you got another tight end. So if there is a scenario like that ever again, Bonte, he wouldn't be the tight end. Your best receiver, one of your best receiving options, wouldn't be in there blocking. So I'm excited to see how it works, but they still need some help at the wideout position. So I'm still, until they tell me there's no chance of getting a guy like AB,
I ain't giving up. Here's the thing with Jordan Reed, though, and I think, Shasky, you're touching on it. I don't think George Kittle's strength is lining up out wide and running routes. I like him inside tight where he is a dual threat, where he can either pass block, run block, or run down the middle of the field and do his thing. Jordan Reed, I have seen split out wide. Yes. Jordan Reed, I think, can be a problem splitting out wide. But I just saw some tweets here, and I'm looking at the text line. I just – the first hit Jordan Reed takes, I'm going to be petrified. It's like, oh, dear, get up, man, because he's had the concussion history. But why did the Niners – because we know they went after Austin Hooper before he signed with the Cleveland Browns. Well, then the Niners were intrigued with other tight ends. Why? Why did the Niners go sign Jordan Reed right now? Why do you think that? Because the tight end room? Were they really petrified about the tight end room? Is it the lack of receivers? Why did they go after Jordan Reed and bring in Jordan Reed to Santa Clara?
to get better, to have a another player who can make plays for their quarterback. Like, that's, it's a very simple equation. It's not some cryptic thing about George Kittle. I think it's independent of George Kittle. I think this is strictly about adding a guy who you like, who you know fits the system, who can help your quarterback out and help out your offense. Like, that, I just... Why does everything have to be about, oh my God, this is all about Kittle? We have to read into this signing. What does it mean for George Kittle?
Who do you think
Kittle?
Is saying that? Do you think people really think this affects George Kittle at all? I think it helps George Kittle. It helps George Kittle. Yeah, I don't think anybody's thinking.
How so? Because on Friday, Thursday, when we talked to you last, after Lynch had got his deal, I was saying, oh, you know what? Because of next year and the uncertainty with the cap or whatnot and COVID, I was like, I'm still expecting Kittle to be taken care of. And then, boom, over the weekend, one of the most, in-tune reporters in the NFL dropped something that says they're far apart. Huh? When did that happen? And now you got a new tight end that's dealing with some concussion issues. I'm still scratching my head. But, Bonte, I don't think – how I'm asking you two to break down to me how that helps Kittle.
I'll tell you how. Is Ross
Dwelly
better than –
he shouldn't have needed the help, right, is what I'm saying. I'm waiting on that contract.
You're trying to lessen the load, and maybe you get different matchup situations based on formations. Like, again, let's just go through the roster. Is Jordan Reed a better football player than Ross Dwelly?
I believe so.
Okay, so you've upgraded. So you've upgraded for dirt cheap. Like, why do we have to overthink everything?
This is a
good move that helps the team.
Also from the 650 and – couple tweets from the 650, different phone numbers, but 650 area code. One of them, they also drafted a tight end from Georgia this year, Warner. I think the guy could
Charlie
be a player.
Warner.
He looks like a beast, especially in the run game. So he's going to see some action. And the other text from the 650, Kittle Reed and Jalen Hurd is a good tight end room. Lots of versatility there. Jalen Hurd will play a lot around the line of scrimmage. Think about Delanie Walker in that H-back role, lining up in the backfield, motioning out, playing the slot at Baylor. Yes. This is a good move. Really? But I don't think if anybody is out there thinking that this affects George Kittle at all, that you think, oh, man, the Niners signed Jordan Reed, they're going to go trade George Kittle, you're high. This has nothing to do with George Kittle. It helps George Kittle, the offense, because all of a sudden on 3rd and 5, if you have Reed and Kittle on the field, you're like, okay, we can double George Kittle, but if we leave Reed one-on-one against a linebacker, we're going to get cooked. So I don't think, Shasky, anybody is thinking that this has anything to do with George Kittle in a negative way.
Well, and like, guys, the reality of what is going on right now, COVID-19, someone might test positive, and you might not have that individual for 3 or 4 weeks. Like, we just don't know. And then I just look at football as being, I don't know, the most violent sport in all the land outside of the UFC. Guys go down. Last year, this team was without their starting left and right tackle, fullback and tight end for long stretches, okay? More players and better depth is what every NFL team wants. Like, I don't know. This is such a great pickup. We're not getting Mike Ditka in his prime. All right, I'm not pretending that that's who they're getting. But what they're getting is a really good insurance policy on the dirt cheap. And if it works out, this could be a great boon for everyone on the roster.
All right, so forget, and both you guys make stellar points. I guess what I'm saying is, and I just reiterated it, when Lynch got signed, we thought maybe that was holding up Kittle's contract. And nobody on this show would have been shocked had they re-upped Kittle even as soon as last week. So I'm asking you, forget Reed, this report from Ian, and now we're about to hear the presser from Lynch and Shanny. That's not a head-scratcher at all? Because I'm not saying it's not going to get done.
What makes it head-scratching?
They were going to take care of him this before the – because you were talking about he should hold out this training camp, Bonte. Remember we had the discussion.
Well, I would hold out because he has one more year left on the deal. He's entering his last year of the contract.
Right.
If I was George Kittle, I'm just saying, George Kittle, you played through a torn labrum, a fractured ankle, and a pop capsule, and you mean a lot to this offense in the run and pass game, and you're barely making over $2 million. I'm not even talking about – this is before taxes. I want my money. I want my chicken. I'm seeing Austin Hooper get paid. I'm seeing all these guys get paid around the league. I want my money. So that's all that is. But George Kittle says he's a leader. He's a captain. What type of tone would that set
tripping
for training camp?
Yeah.
So he's going to come to training camp. Good for him. I'm happy for him. But he should be taken care of. But, this Jordan
Reed care of him.
Has nothing to do. Well, is that a guarantee? Because John Lynch and company said they were going to take care of DeForest Buckner. They said that, and wow. I know it's
but they
different.
Did.
It's
but
different.
But they did take care of him. They sent him to a place that was going to pay him. No. Let's be honest here. They sent him to a place that broke him off money within 1 hour of being traded. He signed a massive extension. So you look at it from the 49er perspective. Look at it from DeForest Buckner's family perspective. Did he get what he wanted?
They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to leave.
Okay.
They loved
he
this
got
community.
Broken off though.
He felt like he was part of something that has been built here. If you're DeForest Buckner. And you was with this team before Shanahan, which he was. And he was around the 2-14 seasons. He was around those first 2 years of Shanahan. All of a sudden, you make the Super Bowl. You're the defensive line captain, and you get shipped out. I don't think – sure, he got his money, and he got paid, and he's in a good spot in Indianapolis.
It's bigger than that, though, Shasky.
But it is bigger than that.
Guys get paid.
But listen,
though. The Niners pay people.
But listen, though. They said they wanted DeForest Buckner for a long time. A long time in a Niners uniform. Why should I believe – that the same thing won't happen to George Kittle? Because in my opinion, Kyle Shanahan and company believe their system is bigger than the player. They feel like they could plug and play anybody, which is why we see constant chatter about the quarterback position. We see it all the time with Jimmy Garoppolo. His job apparently isn't safe. George Kittle, why is it a guarantee that he's going to get his money?
It has to come up in this presser. Ask about the contract in the presser.
Did they take care of Joe Staley when his contract was coming up a couple of years ago? Yes, they did. They gave him a 2-year extension. Did they make Jimmy Garoppolo at the time one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league? Yes, they did at the time.
Did they have a choice?
I'm just telling you. I'm telling you what they've done business-wise. Like, I think this matters. Let's state the facts. Did they give Kyle Juszczyk the highest fullback contract in the league?
Yes, they did.
Did they take care of Quan Alexander and give him an unbelievable amount of money
to come here? Those are players who weren't here, Shasky. I'm saying players on the football team that have been here, they haven't really given contract extensions yet. They really haven't.
That's the only guy who's come up. They took care of Eric Armstead. Did they not take care of Eric Armstead at the expense of DeForest Buckner?
But a lot of people don't believe that Armstead should have got that money. They believe that Buckner should have got that money. Armstead had one good year. One really good year. DeForest Buckner was Mr. Consistency. Why is it not fair?
I don't think it's fair to label the front office that they're not going to take care of Kittle because of Buckner. They're two separate situations.
But Guru and I think we're in the same boat here where I'm going to believe it when I see it. Because all last season, they talked about Buckner being a 49er for a long, long time. The quotes are out there. John Lynch said it with his own mouth. He said it. Buckner's going to be a 49er, and what happened? They turned around and flipped him. One of the most loyal 49ers who played hard and was consistent and was a captain of the football team, and they decided, you know what? I would rather give Armstead that money. I would rather give Armstead that money than Buckner, who probably benefited off of Buckner eating all the double teams. That's all I'm saying, Chasky.
There's more nuance to it than that. Butch, real quick, Shanny
and Lynch got re-upped, and they didn't have to. They had years left. So I'm like, okay, this is the Niners' way. This is how they're doing it. So they get their deals, and I was just expecting the same thing to happen with Kittle. Now, it could very well happen next year, but you can't tell me you didn't think last week when Lynch got his deal and everything was nice in Ninerland that Kittle wasn't going to be getting taken care of. Now you're saying you're going to let it go to the 15th round with COVID, and we don't know what the cap's going to
be. We're not there yet. Look, if he was a free agent, I'd be petrified. I'd be worried.
So this report means nothing to you.
Look,
the Ian Rappaport.
When they didn't sign Buckner, it was because not only did they sign Eric Armstead, it gave them extra money to retain Jimmy Ward.
No doubt.
It was two players for one. Right. And $21 million for a defensive tackle they felt was too steep. And they ended up getting back, if you base it on the draft chart, okay, there's a draft chart of value. They actually got a better haul.
I hate that draft
DeForest
chart
Buckner.
Of value.
Well,
I really
guess what?
Stand
they got
it.
A better
no draft
haul.
Chart.
They got a better haul than Khalil Mack Raider trade. They got a better value back.
The Niners. They got one
first-round
pick for that.
They got
the Raiders got multiple first-round picks. They got players.
They gave up a second rounder for Khalil Mack.
Look at the players they got for Khalil Mack.
Again, you got to look at the value chart. The 49ers got
a great haul for DeForest Buckner. Honestly, I don't care about a value chart.
And they parlayed it into another first round pick. They got them Brandon Ayuk.
They let talent leave, and we don't know if that's going to bite them in the ass. It's a question coming into this season.
They let talent leave so they could retain multiple positions. Again, right. I wasn't in love with them trading DeForest, but $21 million for him is too steep for me. Now, on the George Kittle thing, this is straight up. They're going to get George Kittle signed. He means too much to the offense, to the team, everything. If Jordan Reed's signing has any indication on George Kittle, it's that they're going to try to preserve George Kittle so that they can maximize the $100 million they're going to give this guy. Jordan Reed, had he been signed by New England or Tampa Bay, everybody would be on here going, oh, my God, the rich getting richer. Jordan Reed to Tom Brady, are you kidding me? People will be losing their minds. Had Seattle signed Jordan Reed, people will be losing their minds. This is a great day today. They picked up someone on the dirt cheap who's going to help out the offense and help the quarterback so we can go back and win a Super Bowl. And I don't think it's fair that we said that this front office didn't want to pay DeForest Buckner. It was the lesser of two evils. Move DeForest and retain Jimmy and Eric Armstead. We will see if it plays out to where it's the right move. But I can't fault the logic.
888-957-9570. How are you feeling about the 49ers front office? They just signed Jordan Reed to a one-year incentive-laden deal. Jordan Reed now possibly the number two tight end. And if he is healthy, he can help this team, especially in the passing game. How are you feeling about the move to bring in Jordan Reed and Noah? We don't think that it has any effect on George Kittle whatsoever. I hope the Niners do pay George Kittle. I hope they do give him his money. But when Rappaport says, hey, they're far apart, maybe it's just looking at some of the details here. I'd have no idea how.
Where did that come from?
Maybe an agent floated it out. Maybe somebody floated it out to try to get George Kittle his money quicker. We saw Raheem Mostert's agent come out publicly to maybe force the Niners' hands.
How'd that work out?
And it worked out well for Mostert. He got a raise. He got a pay raise. So he's getting paid just as much as Tevin Coleman.
Organized chaos.
It is organized chaos right now. We're going to hear
winning with class.
I do think, look, and I've been critical of the front office. There's no question about it. I've been critical of the ownership and things like that. Right. But I do think you need to give them credit where credit is due. To think that they'll just ship anyone out.
No.
They shipped out one guy. They've paid a lot of guys
during this
tenure.
I don't think that's the case at all.
And they've treated people right. Like, I do think we do. I would like to give them the benefit of the doubt because I do think they've earned it.
If you're a player, though, and you look at the way the Niners structure their contracts, there's a lot of outs. There's a lot of ways where they could move off these players. It's smart business for the 49ers. But for the player, it's like, man, do we really have long-term security here in San Francisco? They're just talking to Tom Brady. We hear Shanahan all the time talk about Kirk Cousins, for crying out loud. Kirk Cousins this, Kirk Cousins that. How are you feeling about Jimmy G? And that Jimmy G move, it felt like they had to make the move. What quarterback was out there, realistically, to bring in when you had Jimmy Garoppolo play for five games? You had to pay Jimmy Garoppolo. That was a no-brainer. You had to do it. But you look at some of the guys they're extending. You mentioned Jimmy Ward. I like Jimmy Ward. He proved me wrong last season. But that's 1 year out of six. That's 1 year out of six. It's
but
1 year out of
system.
Six. Yeah, in the system.
But in the
I get
system,
it.
Now
I get
his
it.
First year.
But can he stay healthy? I worry about that. I do worry about that. I worry about Armstead. What's going to happen here? He's had some injury issues with this football team. What is he going to do now that he has his money? Is that motor still going to be running high? Because we know how players perform in contract years. They ball the hell out because they know that may be their one golden opportunity to get a big-time payday.
And this goes for all players, Shasky and Bonte, I got to tell you. But it could be over in one play.
Exactly.
And I am shocked that
Linehan. I like that. That should be the new name. Linehan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he turned the Niners down years ago.
They got their paper, but now, for whatever reason, and we're not saying it could be in the works now, the Kittle is getting hung up on Kittle. And for Kittle to go out there and risk his neck and chest on this last season, and if something drastic were to happen or he were to get injured, my point is, Bonte, I'm with you. If I was Kittle's friend or family, I know how to push your chips all in. You say, I'm not reporting, and then you'll get your money and you'll get the answers of what they think of you, Shasky. That's all I'm saying. Because if he goes out there like a lame duck and somehow were to get hurt and tear up his knee or what have you, you ain't getting that chicken.
Yeah, I hear you. I
was just
going to
mention Dante Whitner will join us at 1:30. He played with Jordan Reed. Nice. In Washington in 2016, so we'll hear from the hitman.
Job,
the hitman, he'll join us at 1:30. Yeah. Producer Kyle doing work here.
But go ahead, what I said, because Butch, Bonte, I'm just telling Butch, this is if you want to get your money, man, you better. I could see holding out, not.
But that's
report.
Everyone in the NFL. That's everyone in the NFL has that.
But
mentality.
Not like Kittle.
He
got
paid.
one year left.
I hear you. But again, this organization has proven time and time again: if you do well, we're gonna pay you. The only guy that they shipped out
DeForest
and got
Buckner
immediately
that.
Paid. He's the only guy. He's the only guy during this regime. Everyone else has gotten paid. Like, just look at who they've treated everyone well. They deserve the benefit of the doubt.
They've brought in a lot of guys and paid some money, and they had a lot of cap. There's no doubt about it. But I want to see them pay more of their own. And, look, Jimmy Ward, he's been here a lifelong 49er, former first-round pick. He got taken care of. Let's see what happens with some of the other guys.
How much
here.
Would you pay Kittle, B? Remember we had that show?
Would 16 be million a year.
Would it be,
what if he wants receiver money? Remember we were like, oh, yeah, he wants receiver money. So is that where this report is coming from?
Yeah, they don't want to pay him like Cooper.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Boy, that's a great question.
I was having a conversation about that with my guy Big Dog City over the weekend. There's something I got to get off my chest when it comes to George Kittle in the passing game. But I want to get to our guy, Robin Sanbruno, real quick. Robin Sanbruno, good afternoon. How are you feeling about the Jordan Reed move to the 49ers?
Oh, man, this is a great move. I remember I called your show, and the caller before me said the same thing, and I repeated what he said. I think this is a great move for the 49ers. I think he does things Kittle can do. I think, like you said, he can line up on the outside and actually beat a corner. I think Kittle more of a guy, you know, get him a little slant routes, a little ins and outs to 5-10 yards, and play as he, because he's faster than what he looks and people think. So that's his advantage. But I think, and I look at, I think the Niners, this is business, but I think this is affecting Kittle. But I don't think the Niners are not, I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan, this system, what it does for tight ends over the years. This is tight end, this system is catered towards tight ends. So if, I don't think he's going to get receiver money. He needs to come down with his price. And you're a great tight end. You're not a receiver. You don't score a lot of touchdowns. So I can't pay you receiver money because you don't do what the Julio Jones can do. You don't do what the same AB can do, that scores a lot of touchdowns. So to me, I feel like if you want to bring down, if you want to be paid top tight end money, that's fine. But if you talking about going to top receiver money, no. You got to score more. Now if you get like 15 touchdowns next year, pay that man now. But until then, he's a good blocker. He can catch the ball in the 2020s, but I got to see more of him in the red zone. I got to see him score more touchdowns. You remember Keyshawn Johnson, right? He used to have like 120 receptions and like 2 touchdowns. He can't have that. So if you want to be paid like the man and get paid like the receiver, but you're a tight end, you got to score touchdowns. That's what it's about.
Thanks for the phone call, Rob. And that's where I'm at, why I would say $16 million a year. Because one thing that I've yet to see for George Kittle on a consistent basis is lining up wide and beating corners one-on-one and doing things that Gronk did on the outside. I know what he does. And there isn't, and Shasky, I see you shaking your head, but there is something. George Kittle's a damn good football player. A damn good football player. Sets the tone. He's physical. He's really good in the run game. When he gets the ball in his hands, you do not want to tackle him. But does Shanahan scheme him open? Is that something that Kittle does, or can he go line up outside and really beat guys on the outside as a wide receiver? You pay a wide receiver money, I need you to go high point the football. I don't see him high point the football too much. He is wide open a lot of times, catching those drags, catching going down the seam, and catching passes. He's wide open. I'm just saying.
You're driving me nuts.
I'm saying.
He's wide open. Does Russ Dwelly make that play in New Orleans? Does Russ Dwelly make that play against Arizona in the first quarter
where he
shakes dude off and goes 35 yards?
Wide open.
How dare you disrespect George Kittle?
Why? But it's not disrespected. You can't be critical of him lining up out wide and beating quarterbacks? Come on. I'm telling you.
Overall in the NFL. Set up by his peers.
I got to tell you, too, as I play referee, this must be what the report stemmed from. If his agent is trying to get his client paid as a wide receiver, and Butch, on the most important day, I'm not blaming Kittle, you got 5 receptions for 42 yards in the Super Bowl. He's not yet on Gronk level when you talk about a reception,
that's all I'm
and
saying.
Touchdowns. He ain't there, but I can't believe the Niners are looking at him like, oh, you want receiver money?
Can you move can you move George Kittle? Shasky, can you really move George Kittle around like you do Travis Kelce in Kansas City?
No, but they're different players. Right. He's a stud.
That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying as a wide receiver.
It's not about positions. Okay. It's about playmakers. When I'm paying someone, it's about playmakers. Are you a playmaker? Christian McCaffrey just got paid. Not because he's a running back, because he's a
damn
ridiculous
good
playmaker.
But he's a good damn running back, though. He runs between
tackles. And so is George Kittle. He's a damn good tight end and a great playmaker.
Should he be paid, Butch, like a receiver?
5 for $100. Yeah, he should. I think he should get around 20, 21 million. Ooh, that's what I'm giving him.
Wow, man.
And
that's
he sets the tone. And he sets the tone in the
I agree
game.
That he sets
the
tone.
Plays that he makes
and I'm not
in
saying
the
that.
Passing game.
Give him 16 a year. Give him a fat guarantee.
I give you that, Butch. But are the Niners going to do that?
His peers said he's the seventh best player in the NFL. Not me, not you, not some analytics, not PFF.
I hear
you. The other players in the NFL said he's the seventh best player in the NFL.
Well, actually, PFF said he was the number one player in the league.
Well, there you go.
For Football Focus. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 Game. Brought to you by Bay Alarm. We're going to take a timeout because we need a breath here. Joe Shasky to put your boy in for Steiny Guru Bonte Hill. I'm telling you, can he line up outside? That's all I'm asking. It's a fair question. We're going to go live to Santa Clara. We're going to hear from John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan for the training camp presser. He can high point the football, though. I want to see George Kittle do that. Can he go up and get that thing like Travis Kelce? Can he go do that, Shasky? Can he do it? All right.
He doesn't have to. He barrels you over 60 yards out.
That's all sponsored by Baylor Lynch. Shanahan coming up here, live presser from Santa Clara. We're going to play it right here on 95.7 Game. When it comes to looking out for your business, Baylor brings the best, like professionally monitored video verification proven to catch crooks and prevent false alarms because if your security is not the best, you're not secure. Now more than ever, Baylor.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Going out live to the training camp presser with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in moments as training camp gets underway in the NFL. 888-957-9570. What do you want to hear from John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan? We'll react to all that stuff, Guru and Shasky here for Steiny. Let's go out to Jake in Alameda real quick. Jake, we may have to cut you off, but let's go ahead and get on the line before we get out to the presser. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how's it going? Great show. You know, I'm thinking they're going to ask Shanahan. They're like, weren't you a hands coach at UCLA? They're like, how'd you get that job? I mean, because it doesn't seem like the 49ers can catch all that much. But as far as Kittle is concerned, Shanahan probably likes his physical talent. It's just I noticed Kittle on the sidelines. He doesn't have many people hovering around him like in a leadership role. He's kind of geeky and annoying. But his talent on the field is good. You know, I think, you know, if you want to pay him $30 million as a wide receiver, go ahead. But, I mean, he's just he's never going to lead you in the way you need to be led when it's time to go to battle because the guy's just – that's not his makeup. He's just kind of an annoying dude that's pretty good on the field. If he wasn't so great on the field, I'm sure he'd be – out of there really fast because he's not a real team player. He's kind of an individual.
Feel fair.
Is he talking about George Kittle?
Yeah, I don't think that's fair.
Team guy? No, he's a team guy through and through.
He's the one yelling. In the Viking game, he's yelling, keep running it,
right.
Keep running it. Like,
exactly.
When they showed that sound, how many tight ends or wide receivers are like, yeah, I want to keep blocking? Like, that's
right.
George Kittle. Like, I don't think that's a fair assessment.
What about the presidential response, Bonte, about this? Oh, everything's great. I'm going to focus on this season. My contract's not an issue. I mean, that's what you want to hear from a guy that could be like, man, if I don't get my paper, it's going to be a problem, you know? And all of a sudden, we got this report. Butch, I'm just, you know, my curiosity's peaked.
I'm asking you out loud, and I mean this sincerely. George Kittle is football. Like, when you watch football, you think of someone like George Kittle playing it. If you're not going to pay this man, and okay, maybe you guys think $20 million is too steep. They'll find some sort of a compromise, and they'll figure out what it is. I don't know what that number is. But if you're not going to pay George Kittle, what are we doing here? I mean, like, seriously, if this is about winning Super Bowls and this is about longevity and putting the best roster out there, why are we even trying to have a team? If we're not going to pay George Kittle, we're not going to pay anyone the appropriate amount of money that they deserve. Like, that's the way
I'm
looking at this, and I know the Niners know that.
Yeah, okay. And real quick, it's all about, to me, production. I love Kittle. He's all that and some as a teammate. But if he were, and we don't know, if he's asking for DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones type of chicken, I cannot sign off on that. When in the Super Bowl, not your fault, not, you had five receptions. You're not that type of guy.
He had 60 yards wiped away because of an awful OPI call. He made one of the biggest plays of the game, wiped right off
dying
the map.
I mean,
unbelievable play by him. And so, look, you can only catch the balls that are thrown your way, and that's all he does. Look at his first 3 years. No other player outside of Jerry Rice and Terrell Owens in their first 3 years in the 49ers has had more production, whether it's receiving yards, whether it's receptions overall. Okay, only three other Niners, not named George Kittle, in the history, going back to 1946, have had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. That's what he did. Only three other 49ers, going back to 1946, have had 85 or more catches back-to-back seasons. That's what George Kittle has done. Like, I don't care what metric you want to use, whether it's the blocking, the advanced metrics when it comes to the PFF grades. You want to look at the actual raw data of catches and yards.
So you're giving him a blank check. You're giving Kittle a blank check, basically.
He's one of the best 49ers that we've seen in the last 30 years.
I'm just asking you, so there is no too much money to pay George Kittle in your eyes.
There's always a threshold. There's always a threshold, and you can't go over it. Obviously, there's a salary cap, so things have to flip. But if you're asking me right now, if I had to say peace out D Ford, if I had to say peace out Quan Alexander, Jaquaski Tartt, I'm willing to move off of all those guys.
So how do you replace these guys? Now you're looking at draft picks for the cheap and guys with the lack of experience. You pay George Kittle that type of money, it can compromise you in different areas of the football team, like the secondary. The Niners may have to replace the entire secondary next year. They may. Jimmy Ward, Tartt, Richard Sherman, Kawan Williams, not Jimmy Ward, he signed a two-year deal, but Kawan Williams, Sherman, Tartt, they could all be gone. They could all be gone next year. So if you do pay Kittle 21 plus a year, now you're compromising, and now you're saying cut D Ford and Quan Alexander. Yes. I don't like that. I don't like
Drake
that
Greenlaw
per se.
Played as good as Quan Alexander
play
down the stretch last year.
He did play
and D
very
Ford
well.
Played less than 33% of the snaps last year.
He was
I
hurt
like
last
D Ford.
Year. He was hurt last year, but you're paying him a lot of money here. Hey, now I'm going to cut you guys off. We'll react to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and talk more about Kittle. Let's go down to Santa Clara, boys, and hear from John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan at their training camp presser.
Be moved to the reserve NFI, effectively ending his season. That's a tough one for us. The earliest we might have had DJ back was early November, but it's a 4 to 6 month injury. And so it's been an active conversation, Kyle and myself and the medical folks have been having. Ultimately, too difficult to keep a roster spot for something that may go into December. So we made that. Don't know if it will hit the wire today or not, but it's looking like Sean Poindexter and Kentavious Street are going to be moved off, activated off the PUP. So they'll be on the regular active roster. And finally, I think it broke that we are very excited that to have agreed to terms with Jordan Reed on a 1 year deal and very excited to continue to add quality people and quality players to our team.
That it? Are you done?
Yeah, go ahead, Cam.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thanks, guys. John, nobody's opted out yet from your team, or has anybody expressed concerns from that point of view? Then I have a follow up question for Kyle.
I have not had a conversation with any of our players. We've talked a lot. We always feel like communication with our players is the best opportunity for success in every situation. But none of our players have intimated that that is an option that they're going to be exercising. I guess.
Right, the opt out. And then Kyle, just in terms of how are practices going to be run differently? Amid all the COVID protocol you put in place, and are those starting this week and just in the walkthrough format?
Everything in the building, how we meet, everything that we do is completely different, starting with the county's rules, and then going to our league's protocols. And it was kind of hard to imagine until I got in here and you get to see how everything's spaced out. I mean, we used to have our team meetings in this room we're in right now during training camp where we could fit 100 people in. And now this room's the DB room because the max we can get in with the rules and 6 feet and everything, I think in here is 30. To go from 100 rooms to 30 changes everything. We fortunately are able to use the stadium and stuff, so we can still have a 90-person room. I had my first team meeting this morning where I got the whole team. It's kind of a far walk. It's farther than we're used to. It's on the – what is that called?
United Club.
The United Club. So hopefully we don't go up there too much. So I might change a little bit of that because it's a far walk. But we're going to do this for – I mean, we're going to always do our meetings and everything like this entire year. But we won't be outside actually practicing football against each other. I want to say our first day, I think, is the 15th, going against each other. Once you do that, we'll be playing football. So going through all these protocols and doing everything, it's really to make sure that you have a right to go outside and go play football against each other. Because I think we all know once we play that sport, social distancing during that is a little bit impossible. But if we do it the right way here, we got 10 days before we start to do it, and then we get into it, then you'll get the right to go out there and practice with us.
Hey, John and Kyle, this is Matt. You both signed contract extensions here this offseason. Kyle, can you address like what it means to you to get that kind of security after 3 years and the fact that John was signed as well? And then, John, when you answer, I would like you to address the comment you made on the radio last week that you don't consider yourself a lifer, what exactly that meant. So, Kyle first.
Wish I could answer that for you. Well, none of us are lifers. We don't want to do it till we're 80, you know? So, but anyways, no, I mean, that was the ultimate goal coming here, to establish, what we feel is going to be a consistent winning team, to do things the right way. And, you know, when we started this, none of us really knew each other. I mean, John and I did from a distance, you know, he had interviewed me before games and I worked in a building that he had left 2 weeks prior. So we had some mutual friends and then Jed, you know, we just met on our interview. So we kind of hit it off right away in terms of the interview process and how we all felt. We felt that through, right away at the beginning, even going through those tough times. But the whole goal wasn't, just for us to come here for just one run. We wanted to establish something that we felt we could be a consistent winner. And for us here to, be here for 3 years together, get on the same page in every facet to where we felt great about, you know, the personalities we were working with before we got here. And it's only gotten so much stronger since. And we all know the standard that we have here. We're all on the same page and we all know each other so much better now. And then to kind of to be able to have an owner and starting with Jed and to his whole family, that you kind of, we all know each other, we know what we're dealing with, and be able to do contracts from that standpoint where we could set up the best for the future of this franchise, for Jed, for myself, for John, and really to do it now after 3 years of really getting to know each other. It made it a lot easier and a lot more fun than it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I would just say, echo Kyle's sentiments that it's an extraordinary commitment from the York family. And, you know, we're very grateful. We really like what we're doing. We love coming to work each and every day. You know, we believe in the culture, you know, returning this place to the 49er way of doing things in the right manner, having guys that are the right kind of guys, both on and off the field. We feel very good about where we're at. We said here on day one, we're going to put together a roster that will make you proud and that will compete for championships. And I think we're there. You have to go earn it each and every year. But I know I speak for Kyle and our families. We're incredibly grateful for the commitment that they've shown. As for, you know, I kind of come from the old school, Matt, and sometimes I get tripped up because sports radio used to be kind of off limits. You could talk in almost a free zone, and what you said on there, sometimes there's context. In terms of not being a lifer, I think I was just, commenting. I don't know really how long I'll do this for. I'll know I'll do it for the next 5 years. I'm having a blast doing it. I love, as I mentioned, coming to work each and every day. And, you know, when I said that, I kind of said, oh, no, that's going to become a story. And really, there's nothing to it. You know, there are things in life that, you know, my wife has been tremendous when I played for 15 years and then traveled for broadcasting. And, but she loves this and they're a part of it. So everything's good right now. I kind of live in the moment. And, you know, that's nothing really to that comment.
I'll tell you, Matt, it was a huge accomplishment in our house to where it didn't hit me until we got it and my wife, but she joined this when we got married at 25, but you know, I never lived anywhere in my life longer than 4 years. I tied that a couple places, did it once in Houston, did it once in Washington. My dad coached in Denver for a long time, but we moved back there 3 different times, getting fired and rehired and stuff. So, hopefully with this, my family kind of celebrated a little bit because first time I told my kids, depending on how this year goes, but I feel like we're going to pass the 4 year mark after that. And that was a personal accomplishment for us that the Shanahan household was happy with.
Hey guys, it's Nick here for John. John, I'm just curious if there's any update on the George Kittle contract situation, and are you guys working with any sort of time frame or deadline that you're trying to get something done by?
Well, good question, Nick. We're working diligently. I can tell you that. I'm not going to get into timeframes. We are working diligently to come to a resolution. You know, I've been on record saying what George means to this place. I think I'll turn it over to Kyle. I had a nice opportunity The only thing I'll say, to visit with George today, and I know Kyle did as well, and that's what you welcome. And we've tried to be respectful of the agent player thing, but it's always nice just to talk with the player. And I think there's a great understanding that, you know, we're in this thing together. We're partners to try to get something done, because it makes too much sense not to.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think we don't have to say how important George is to us, and not only as being the best tight end to me in the league, but also the type of person he is. So we're doing everything we can to get that done. I do feel good about it. It was great to see George today for the first time. I know you opened camp on the 28th, but all the COVID testing and stuff, today was actually the first day that we were able to see all the vets and everybody. So it's always hard when you're away from people from a little bit, but be able to sit down and reconnect with people that you know real well and stuff. It was great to see George again today, and no one's changed. And I feel really good about this going forward, and feel very optimistic about it. So hopefully something will happen sooner than later. Not too concerned about it, though.
You are listening live to the Training Camp Presser with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan right here on 95.7 The Game.
Chris Peterman. Josh.
Unmute.
Zoom issues down in Santa Clara.
Kyle, you were pretty excited when, you know, last winter you found out that Robert was going to be on staff again this year. How crucial is it to have, especially with this kind of offseason, this limited practice, to have almost your whole coaching staff back and so many of your core players back this year?
I mean, we're all going through this for the first time, so we'll you find out as it goes, but it's definitely a lot more easy on your anxiety when you can't go in and you can't meet with the players except on Zooms, and you know you kind of got the same group. You know, we've added a few different guys player-wise, and we have added a couple different coaches, but the foundation of our team, and especially our defense there and our defensive coordinator, and that hasn't changed, and I do think that helps a lot, you know, especially where we left off, but we got a lot to do to get back to a lot of things. And it's nice when the players come in, it's the first time we can meet with them in person, and they're not having to spend a couple weeks getting a feel for a new coordinator or a new scheme or anything like that. We feel like we got a lot of unfinished business, and we got to get to work a lot before we even get to a lot of that stuff. We got so much work ahead of us, and it's real nice to get to that right away with our staff.
Hey, Kyle, Jennifer Chan. Does it make it much more, I guess, much easier to deal with in regards to George Kittle, that he has that open line of communication, as opposed to maybe different contracts that came up earlier in the offseason?
I hope everyone feels they have the open line of communication. I mean, I think it's a very fine line between coach and player. I mean, I've never met a coach who doesn't want all their players to just get paid as much as they can, you know, you don't, but there also is the problem, and the awkward part of our profession is there is a salary cap and things. So you do have to balance all that stuff out. Every coach wants a player to get paid. But it's hard to pay every single player when you have a salary cap. So those are the things you really got to think about. And that's why it's so important to have such a good team and people. And that's why it's important for players to have agents too at times, because they work for the players, and you can get a lot of stuff done through that, which I think everyone's got to negotiate in every business, whether it's buying a house or whether it's you guys with your bosses. And that's not always the easiest thing. And there's no difference in football. But when you do have a relationship with people and they do know you, I think, as more than just a coach, or I know them as more than just a player, it's a lot easier to have dialogue. I mean, a player can ever think they're just going to come into my office, I'm going to tell them what they want to hear. But I do feel, I have been around the business for a while, and I do think I understand the business pretty well. And I think the players respect how honest I am with them. So when they do want advice or they want to understand a situation, I do think I can always help give them a perspective. When, if you don't have someone like that, it's very tough, because not everyone knows the big picture. And that's why it does get tough with people. But you got to, it's not just the relationship with the coach and the player. I mean, it's how the agent and talking with John, talking with Prague throughout the whole process, how that goes. And I mean, like I just said, I mean, whether it's houses, whether it's your guys' jobs, that stuff is always hard. But any time that you do have a relationship with people and you can communicate, it makes it so much easier. And I would hate to not have that, because I don't know how I would be able to handle it without those relationships.
Hey guys, this is Chris Biederman with the Sacramento Bee. Starting with John, what's the health status of Jordan Reed, particularly, you know, after missing last year because of the head injuries? And for Kyle, how exactly do you imagine him fitting into the offense? Because it was reported throughout the offseason that you guys were interested in finding a number two tight end.
Well, Chris, on the health, you know, he it's well documented. He's had, multiple concussions prior. And so there's always in situations like this, there's a reason a guy like Jordan Reed's out there, right? So there is some risk reward. You know, we got to a point where we felt the risk that we're taking on, was worth it with the potential reward. And, that's where we're at. I'll let Kyle speak as to, you know, how we plan on utilizing Jordan.
I mean, I think everyone's aware of Jordan's ability. I mean, when he's been healthy, he's played at an extremely high level, and he's been one of the best third down tight ends in the league when he's been healthy. I got to spend a year there with him, so I'm familiar with the person and the player. But when it comes to the tight ends, I mean, we'd always love to bring six tight ends to camp, and it's hard. Sometimes you bring five, sometimes you bring six. Depends on whether there's two fullbacks, one fullback. Then when you cut down to 80, it makes that a lot harder. Adding six is something that you're always asking for as a coach because you use them so much and you need depth. So that was something we were hoping for anyways. But then when it became the possibility of Jordan Reed, things change a little bit because now you're not just trying to add a number. You're adding a guy who, if he's healthy, everyone's seen how he's played in this league. So I'm really hoping Jordan can come in here. Just talking to him the last couple of days to hear where he's at, to hear how he feels. I know he hasn't been on the field for a little bit. I know he's very hungry to get back out there. It was cool being able to talk to Trent Williams on Saturday. A little bit about Jordan, you know, because Trent spent a lot of time there in Washington with him. I only got 1 year with him. And just to hear, I know he's hungry to come in and play football. He hasn't got to do much of that lately. And when you have a talented guy who's hungry to play football, it works out if they can stay healthy. And Jordan's had some bad luck over the years. I know he's ready to go. I hope he has some good luck here. And if he does, I think it's going to be a hell of a deal for the Niners and a really good deal for him also.
Hi, this is David Lombardi. This question's for John. On the radio the other day, you mentioned that you guys were anticipating the cap probably rising to, what, $215, $220 million. Obviously, that's really cratered over the past few weeks. I'm wondering how what was different about this offseason as far as having to manage, a budget of a championship-contending team when you didn't even know what the cap was going to be, and I guess you still don't know right now. How has that impacted, the day-to-day of projecting contracts and all the such?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, one we've been I think everybody in the league has been trying to wrap their arms around. I think everybody in this league, all you crave is certainty in terms of wanting to know the rules. What are we dealing with? And so it's been interesting in that I think we all knew the potential that things could change dramatically, and right down to the deal, that the owners and the PA came to, even then we were still waiting for specifics and we still don't know those. So, is it going to be a challenge? Absolutely. For us, I think, the biggest challenge is we were set up with a really good roster, but we had set it up such that we really felt it was sustainable. I think it's still sustainable. We're going to have to get creative though. And we got to figure some things out. So, you weigh that along with everything else that, this off season brought in terms of these new protocols and everything, but it has left for a lot more uncertainty than you're used to in this league. And that's been difficult. I guess if there's any good news, it's that everybody else wasn't immune to that same uncertainty. We're all playing from the same rules, and are certain teams better positioned to stomach that probably, but we'll figure it out. We're confident that we will.
Hey, it's Tracy Sandler. This is for Kyle. In meeting with the players, say for the first time, what is the general mood? Is there any trepidation around all of the new protocols with COVID-19? Is it taking away at all from the excitement of getting started with the season?
I mean, There's more to think about than usual. Usually we've had 30 days off and we're coming here and there's only one thing you can think about. And it's the only thing you should be thinking about at the time. And that's football. That's been the challenge for starting with me personally. I've been telling everyone, like, the first 2 weeks I came back here, and you know, whether it's trainers or medical guys or personnel department, whatever it is, every question that they ask the head coach, I've told them usually this time of year, I'm extremely confident in whatever answer I give, whether it's right or wrong, but I always feel pretty confident because it's just so predicated on what I think is the best for a football team in terms of football. And it's just been a little different these last 2 weeks because that's how I usually think. But there's kind of this other thing that's new sitting there that, yeah, but football doesn't matter if you don't handle COVID right. And so I've never said I'm not sure in the last 2 weeks as much as I have because of certain things like that. And I think that's what we're kind of all trying to implement in. And man, this is the first time we've really got to see all the players in person since the Super Bowl. And I start getting ready for stuff I want to talk about football wise. And it's going to be like, I mean, I probably never stop. There's so many things I want to talk about. And today's the first day back. But today, because of all the stuff you ask about, today was mainly just addressing those concerns, talking about COVID. I know before I got here, I was a lot more nervous, not just how can this work out? I know what our office looks like and I know what we do, like how can we social distance? And I had a lot of skepticism before I got here. And then when I did, each day it got better and better. And then you start to see the protocols and you just get so much more optimistic of like, all right, I get how this can work. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but I get how this can work. And that's kind of what I just shared with the players, that they've been off and on here. We hadn't been able to be with the coaches and stuff, but that's kind of what I just talked about, and to show them what we have ahead of us when we're allowed to practice against each other. And when we do, that's August 15th. And that day we're going to really only have about 15 practices before week one. And I mean, you can't go full pads every single day. I think we're allowed 14. There's only about a total days of 15. So I don't know how many we're going to get in, but it's not going to be what you're used to. But that's when we're going to really start hitting it hard, where we have a 10-day deal right now where we're social distancing, lifting, conditioning, getting prepared to really compete. And that's what's different than every other aspect. So I'm trying to slow it down a little bit, focus on COVID, things like that now. And I know as it starts getting into it and we get closer to practicing against each other, then a lot more football stuff will come in.
That was Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch live in Santa Clara for the 49ers training camp presser. We'll talk to Dante Whitner at 1:30, the former 49ers safety, played with Jordan Reed in Washington back in 2016. And we'll take your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We'll react to what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan had to say down there in Santa Clara. That's coming up here next. Derek Guru Johnson, Joe Shatsky, the Butcher Boy, Bonte Hill, all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.